Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 48, Paul Again Before Nero. When Paul was called before Nero for trial, he expected soon to meet certain death. Among the Greeks and Romans, it was customary to allow an accused person, a lawyer or other representative, who by force of argument, impassioned eloquence, or tears, often secured a decision in favor of the prisoner, or succeeded in reducing the severity of the sentence. But no one dared to act as Paul's spokesman. No friend was at hand even to record the charge against him or the arguments he presented in his own defense. Among the Christians at Rome, not one came forward to stand by him in that difficult hour. The only reliable record of the occasion comes from Paul himself. "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Nero had reached the peak of his earthly power, authority, and wealth, as well as the lowest depths of iniquity. No one dared question his authority. The decrees of senators and the decisions of judges were no more than the echo of his will. The name of Nero made the world tremble. To come under his displeasure was to lose property, liberty, life. Without money, friends, or an attorney, the aged prisoner stood before Nero. The face of the emperor showed the shameful record of passions that raged within. The face of the accused told of a heart at peace with God. In spite of constant misrepresentation, blame, and abuse, Paul had fearlessly held high the standard of the cross. Like his master, he had lived to bless humanity. How could Nero understand or appreciate the character and motives of this Son of God? The huge hall was filled with an eager crowd that pushed its way to the front. High and low, rich and poor, educated and ignorant, proud and humble, all alike were in desperate need of a true knowledge of the way of life and salvation. The Jews brought against Paul the old charges of treason and heresy, and both Jews and Romans accused him of stirring people up to burn the city. The people and the judges looked at Paul in surprise. They had gazed at many a criminal, but they had never seen a man wear a look of such holy calmness. The keen eyes of the judges searched Paul's face for some evidence of guilt, without finding any. When he was permitted to speak in his own behalf, everyone listened with eager interest. Once more, Paul uplifted the banner of the cross before an amazed crowd, his heart stirred with an intense desire for their salvation. Losing sight of the terrible fate that seemed so near, he saw only Jesus, the intercessor, pleading for sinful humanity. With eloquence and power, Paul pointed to the sacrifice Jesus made for the fallen race. Christ had paid an infinite price for our redemption. He had made provision for us to share the throne of God. Angel messengers connect earth with heaven, and all mankind's deeds are open to the eyes of infinite justice. Paul's words were like a shout of victory above the roar of battle. Though he might die, the gospel would not perish. Never had that assembly listened to words like these. They struck a chord that vibrated in the hearts of even the most hardened. Light blazed into the minds of many who later gladly followed its rays. The truths Paul spoke on that day were destined to shake nations and to live through all time, still influencing people when the lips that had spoken them would be silent in a martyr's grave. Nero hears God's last call. Never had Nero heard truth as he heard it on this occasion. He trembled with terror at the thought of a tribunal where he, the ruler of the world, would finally be arraigned. He feared the apostles' God, and he dared not pass sentence on Paul. A sense of awe restrained his bloodthirsty spirit. For a moment, heaven was open to the hardened Nero, and its peace and purity seemed desirable. But only for a moment did he welcome the thought of pardon. Then he issued the command to take Paul back to his dungeon. As the door closed on the messenger of God, the door of repentance closed forever against the emperor of Rome. No ray of light would ever again penetrate the darkness that surrounded him. Not long after this, Nero sailed on his infamous expedition to Greece, where he disgraced himself and his kingdom by his degrading antics. Returning to Rome, he engaged in scenes of revolting immorality. In the midst of these low festivities, there was an alarming sound in the streets. Galba, at the head of an army, was marching rapidly on Rome. Rebellion had broken out in the city, and the streets were filled with an enraged mob, threatening death to the emperor and his supporters. Afraid that the mob would torture him, the wretched tyrant thought to take his own life, but at the critical moment his courage failed. He fled from the city in cowardly disgrace and sought shelter at a country retreat a few miles away. But his hiding place was soon discovered, and as the pursuing horsemen drew near, he called a slave to his aid and killed himself. In this way, the tyrant Nero died at the age of 32.